Hi, this is Charisse Kenyon, and you're listening to the Beauty Me podcast, all about beauty beyond the BS. Welcome to the Week in Beauty, a series that curates the latest beauty news. This week, there are several subjects. I'm going to try and get through them as quickly as I can. First of all, we have to discuss how Pat McGrath almost broke Instagram. We'll look at the news of a possible new series based on the life of so-called plastic surgery addict Jocelyn Wildenstein. Talk about criticism of Kylie Jenner's apparently new face. Briefly look at new projects from Julia Fox, SZA, and Mugler. And we'll talk a little bit about Grammy's beauty moments. So it's a lot. Let's get into it. The first one is going to be the one that I talk about the most, just full disclosure there, because I can't just breeze over the fact that makeup artist and brand founder Pat McGrath almost broke the internet, or at least Instagram, with a 2-hour long IG live last Friday. Let's be real though, she already broke the internet the week before with what has to be the most viral fashion and beauty moment in history when she created porcelain dolls for John Galliano's Margiela Haute Couture show. Even if you have zero interest in fashion or beauty, I know you will have seen an image or a video of this iconic fashion show. Pat and John Galliano have been working together for years on many, many shows, both for John's own line, John Galliano, and also during his time at Dior. And also, he's actually been at Margiela for the past 14 years. It's just that for some reason, this show really just inspired the world. I think John and Pat together have made people believe in the magic of fashion again. And I don't think anyone can deny that it's Pat McGrath who is really the reason for the world being focused on Margiela and John again. I cannot downplay Pat McGrath's influence on this whole huge news story. If you want to know more about the look itself, because I don't want to go on too long today, please check out last week's Week in Beauty, because that's where I break the look down completely and share with you different makeup artists and their kind of theories that they were coming up with. That's episode 234. I will leave a link for you in the show notes. But in short, the look was very much about the models having truly glass skin. A glossy, reflective skin that was easy and movable, but just kind of froze the makeup. The entire beauty world turned into detectives over this one, and it was actually a joy to watch. Everybody wanted to know how Pat did it, and Pat being Pat, she knew this was going to happen. So of course, she's bringing out a new product. And of course, she still hasn't let us know the very final details just yet, but she took the opportunity to really break down the look in a 2-hour long makeup masterclass on her Instagram. This is the kind of masterclass, I don't know how much you would have to pay if you wanted to attend this in real life. What Pat gave was joy, inspiration, education, just real insider knowledge. And as she said herself, she is not a gatekeeper.
Everybody wanted me to, what was it again? No gatekeeping?
What's that thing?
What's that thing? Because I have never gatekeeped anything in my life. I believe in full disclosure. Bye, team. Yeah.
I think she's definitely one that likes to hold on to information until she is ready. But yeah, the way she just shared with her beauty community was so beautiful to watch. So the live was meant to start at 8 o'clock, and I think it started about 6 or 7 minutes late. And my DMs were kind of full of palpable tension because we were like, she did say 8. She hasn't gone on. Like, is something wrong? Is it not happening? But once it happened, I was smiling at my phone. Like, I was locked in for this IG live. And even my husband and my dog, who were like sitting on the couch near me, they weren't even watching stuff. They were watching me and listening to Pat, who, by the way, has got the most beautiful voice. I'm hoping one day she graces this podcast. Pat, if you're listening, because Pat's voice is so warm. It's got a little bit of grain to it. It's almost a little bit honeyed. And it always sounds like she's ready to giggle as well. She just sounds like such a warm person. Through the 2 hours, Pat's artist walked us through 2 models. One was very pale-skinned and one had dark skin. The first model came out with this beautiful, very painterly makeup, very Renaissance painting because she was so pale. Her lips had this kind of little rosebud tint to them, and on her eyes it was almost like a grungy taupe. And what we really learned with that look was just layers of colour, lots of small layers, bit by bit. She was just stunning. On the black model, we had this beautiful purple eye combined with a pink lip. And what everybody was loving when it came to the purple eye was that it wasn't just eyeshadow. They actually used a lipstick on her eyes to really make the purple pop. What they used was this lipstick from the Matte Trance range, which is Pat's gorgeous range of very matte lipsticks that go on really soft, by the way. And that colour is Faux Pas. It's such a gorgeous, it's giving me very 60s vibes. It's like a lilac kind of purple. And they placed that on the model's eyelids and against her dark skin. It was just stunning. So, of course, much more than the makeup, this glass skin look is all about what goes on top of the makeup. So throughout the 2 hour live, Pat's artists would show us how many layers, and I believe it was 7 layers of this concoction they were spraying on. But before we get into that, I just want to share that at the peak of this live, there were over 17,000 people in the room. And when I say everyone was there, I mean everyone was there. There was actress Jodie Smith. I believe she used to go by Jodie Turner Smith. But Jodie Smith, from one of my favourite films, Queen and Slim, by the way, she was on set filming a movie and still made time to get into the live. Gwendolyn Christie, who was the star appearance of the Margiela show, she closed the Margiela show. And she's also known as Brienne of Tarth in Game of Thrones. She was in the comments. There were beauty icons like Hailey Bieber and Ugly Worldwide, who is one of my favourite models. Lady Gaga's makeup artist Sarah Tano was in there. Rihanna's makeup artist Priscilla Ono was there. Other big makeup artists like Ernesto Casillas, Hindash, and even the makeup brands were in there. I found that really interesting and refreshing because I feel a lot of brands might have just sent, you know, their staff members into these lives. But no, it's like the Milk makeup account was there, Fenty Beauty were there, and they were all praising Pat and just thanking her for her service to beauty. One thing I really enjoyed was that every now and then we would actually see Pat herself, because I think many of us just thought, oh, it's going to be a Pat McGrath account live, meaning her team. But Pat was actually there. If you don't know Pat, she is always going to wear black and she's always got this glowing skin. And even though we only caught sight of her rarely, she would appear, but it was very quickly. We would constantly hear her in the background. She is just so supportive of her team. She was checking out the comments, responding to people. She was really voicing her love for the fact that this look had gone so viral. She kept talking about all the looks that everybody had created, and many of the people that created the most outstanding takes on this were in the live as well, such as Microsoft, who is a stunning, stunning makeup artist. It was just like a big beauty party. It really took me back to when Instagram Lives were the thing during the pandemic. I feel Instagram Lives during that time became a thing where you didn't know what was going to happen tomorrow, but you knew that at 6 o'clock you could go into a live and you would be around people that were into the same kind of things as you, and you might even know online. And it just felt like a good time in what was a tough time. So I think the fact that it took me back really did remind me of something, because I'm one of the first to say I've been criticizing Instagram a lot lately. I'm not an influencer, but I've definitely seen the platform kind of receiving lots of criticism about how it no longer really supports the influencer. It's much more about selling ads. It's not as supportive as it used to be of creators. And I understand that because everything is to do with money and Instagram's owned by Facebook. So that's a whole, well, Meta now, sorry. Meta is a money machine. That's what it's there for. It's not there for us. It's not there to support us. It's not there to educate us. It's there to make money. But I will say I learned that Instagram still is the place to be if you already have a dedicated following. Because let's be real, Pat's got nearly 6 million followers on Instagram. That means that 17,000 in a live is not huge. But actually it is, because I can't think of another time I've seen 17,000 people in an Instagram live. I think I've always been very much, well, TikTok seems to be more supportive because I can go live on TikTok and I can speak to anybody in the world who has perhaps never heard of me and they could decide to follow me. That's a new follower in the bag. On Instagram, when you go live, it's only people that already follow you that know you're live. So I've always felt like, well, that's a bit tough because, you know, 90% of my followers aren't online right now or they're at work. It's always felt like TikTok is more fair. But what I learned from this Pat McGrath live is if you go on Instagram and do a live, your dedicated fan base is already there. So if they know you're going live, there is a really good chance they're going to be there. Whereas on TikTok, your dedicated fan base, they might not get a notification that you're live. And so they're not there for you, but you might get loads of people that don't know you there, and they might just be there to criticize, to troll. One thing I noticed when I was on the Instagram live, I think I saw one negative comment for the whole 2 hours. Like somebody said, this looks rubbish, which was obviously stupid, a stupid comment. Whereas I'd heard that on TikTok, the comments were, there was a lot more negative comments. And I think that's just because it attracted people that weren't into beauty and certainly weren't into history making beauty. So I definitely learned a little bit to kind of give Instagram maybe a little bit more respect. One thing that I did notice, and a couple of people, and I say a couple, I literally mean just a couple. So there was the two different models. So we had a full-on hour with the first model. This was the pale skin model. 17,000, I think it dropped more like to 15,000, so still good. And then the black model came on and the viewers went down to half. They literally went down to about 7,000 in the end. So for me, I was like, well, it's 8 p.m. in the UK. Well, it was 9 p.m. by the time that first hour finished. So that means it's 4 p.m. in New York. That means it's what, 1 p.m. in LA. So for me, that meant a lot of people going back to work because many of her followers would be in the States. They'll be going back to work. It's a Friday. But it was still a big drop off, obviously. But I'm like, I don't think anybody knew we were going to get 2 hours from Pat. But I noticed one person in the comments said, it's very telling that half the audience has gone right now. So she didn't say the reason why. And then Jodie Smith, the actress who I mentioned earlier from Queen and Slim, said, yeah, when the black model came out, I didn't see anybody else say anything back to that. I didn't see anyone become defensive. I didn't see anyone else agree. I just noticed it. And that's why I'm sharing it here, because I just noticed it. I'm not saying I fully agree. But you know, there's that saying about there's no such thing as a coincidence. However, I do think that a lot of people went back to work. For me, it was a Friday evening. I was done. But if it was my friends in the States, they may well have been like, I cannot give Pat any more time. I need to get back to work. So that's just me sharing a tangent that comes up when you're watching something for 2 hours. Another tangent that came up that was very enjoyable was just the fact that Pat was sharing stories from her past. I loved how she shared how she and John Galliano first met. It was on a shoot for Vogue Italia, and she said, I think one of the models was Naomi Campbell. She also shared that as a six-year-old, she would steal her mum's favourite rust-coloured lipstick and wear it on her eyes, cheeks and lips. So obviously, she was destined for greatness. She also shared her tips on how to recreate the Glaskin moment, which, of course, is what everybody was there for. She revealed that the final product was actually a concoction of many masks. You know, those peel-off masks that would, you know, take away the dirt of the day. You spread it over your face and peel it off. She said it was a concoction of a few of them, plus water, as well as a special effects product from Skin Illustrator called Clear Gloss. She said the final look was something that had taken her and her team 3 years of research to produce. And as even before John had approached them in the first week of January, they'd already been trying to perfect the ultimate glass finish that could be wearable and comfortable. So I just think, how amazing would it have been for Pat to say to John, you know, that idea you've got about turning these girls into dolls? Well, I can literally do it for you. Just what a moment that must have been when Pat and John were like, oh my God, the world is going to lose its mind. One final tip that I learned from Pat is to never have hard lines on a lip. She said we should always blur the outside of the lip. And this is something she's been doing for years. I really enjoy wearing this. I actually did it in my take on the Margiela trend. I made a video and I wore it with like a dark gray in the center of my lip and used concealer around the edges of my lip and then gloss. But I do find it a bit like my mouth needs to look organized. It's kind of like a weird one. It's like my lips have no edge to them now. But as Pat put it, one phrase that we all loved was, it's not about being perfect, it's more poetic. So poetic was the word for the night. By the way, Pat did say we should all look out for some future masterclass announcements. I think she's really going to take this on the road before she releases that product that everybody's going to want. She also said that she may well invite some new members to her team based on the talent that she's seen in the thousands of videos that have already been made. So I think that is such a beautiful way to give back to a community that has truly built her brand. Definitely going to leave links to that glass skin episode I mentioned, and I'll also share a link to my video on the show in its entirety if you want to check it out. It will be in the show notes. Next, let's look at the rumors of a new Jocelyn Wildenstein series. If this name doesn't seem familiar, just head to Google and search and you will see a woman who has changed her face so many times over the years, so much so that she's gained the nickname Catwoman, as well as a nickname that's not as cool, the Bride of Wildenstein, which of course is comparing her to Frankenstein's monster. Back in the 90s, Jocelyn Wildenstein was a well-known socialite married to a billionaire art dealer, and that's also the time when she began to do some very invasive surgery to her face. As a result, her face would be plastered over the cover of all those kind of weekly gossip magazines with really taunting headlines that were mostly cruel. Many of these headlines speculated that Jocelyn had become obsessed with looking like a cat or a lynx, while others hinted that perhaps the surgery was an attempt to keep her features looking young to ensure her husband never strayed. To me, Jocelyn is a very fascinating person. I could easily do an entire episode on her because she's turned herself into an object. She is an image of something that is so far removed from what she used to be. If you check out her Instagram, you can see that every image of her is heavily, heavily retouched. And her captions often read as if we are the ones who cannot see properly. Sadly, she's often quoted as denying the fact that she's ever done anything to her face. And it's for that reason that I'm not going to really chime in on the truly awful comments that she's received over the years. There has to be a reason that she's gone so far to change her face. And there has to also be a reason as to why she denies that she's changed it. Suffice to say, you can imagine this story would easily make a great TV series. And if anyone's going to do it, it might as well be Ryan Murphy. He's the man responsible for shows such as the long-running American Horror Story, which is now in season 12. And I am patiently waiting for them to add more episodes because we've only had 5 episodes since it launched last year. He's also the creator behind the FX show Feud, which has just started season 2 in the States. The first series of Feud was about actresses Bette Davis and Joan Crawford, and the current series is about the story of writer Truman Capote and his beloved socialite Swans. Although I can't find much on it yet, apparently season 3 of Feud could be set to focus on Jocelyn Wildenstein and her much talked about divorce in 1999. visually, I know this could be epic. And it's definitely got all the drama that you would expect from a Ryan Murphy show, because throughout their marriage, there are hundreds of stories about the Wildensteins that feature themes of adultery, greed, guns, and $350,000 Chanel dresses. But I'm definitely a little concerned that the show could turn into a bit of a mockumentary of Jocelyn's life. I'll keep an eye out, because there have been talks about Jocelyn having a show of her own in the past, including a HBO docuseries, but so far nothing's come of it, so let's see what happens. Next up, let's briefly look at the commentary around Kylie Jenner looking older in those images of her at Paris Fashion Week. At just 26 years old, the reality star and brand founder has been bombarded with comments since the end of January about how tired she looked and how old she looked at one of the shows. Some questioned whether it was down to perhaps her fillers were moving around in her face, or perhaps she'd made a decision to get them removed. Let's remember, though, Kylie is someone who has constantly denied doing anything to her face apart from fillers, and that there are many of us that don't believe this claim. So she's definitely, I don't think she's been 100%, but does that mean she should be vilified for looking her age? I don't think so. Someone I always like to learn from when it comes to all things Kardashian Jenner is the brilliant MJ Corey. If you don't know her, please check out her social account. It's called Kardashian_colloquium, and that's colloquium with a K, not a C. And she is amazing at theorizing around the reality family phenomenon. MJ created a video in answer to a follower's comment about Kylie's face. The comment said, "Why does Kylie look so old? I just saw some pics and videos from her in the PFW and I was shocked. Sad face emoji." In MJ's video response, she sensibly asks, "Hey, you guys wanted the Kardashians to stop doing fillers, right?" She kind of lets people know, this is what you wanted. You were criticizing them for the BBLs and the fillers, and now you're criticizing them for looking older. She goes on to describe what she calls the avalanche of beauty culture that is landing on younger generations. And for me, I took that to mean that this avalanche is really making them almost unable to process that aging is a thing that's going to happen to others, and also it's going to happen to them. The reason I say this is because a lot of the negative comments that I've seen often seem to be coming from a younger audience who, yeah, they just seem to think they're never going to age. It's almost like they don't know what it is, as if it's an alien concept. I mean, perhaps they won't age in the same way that we do or we will, because perhaps there'll be some new surgery or a new pill. But right now, it just seems like maybe younger people should spend time with older people in real life. And when I say older, I mean like 30, because there's just a real almost denial going on here. I have no solution, by the way. I just think the public is becoming more and more responsible for what they see celebrities doing, while at the same time criticizing them for doing those things. Celebrities are held to such a ridiculously high standard when it comes to their looks and also behavior, but that's something for another day. And I just think this is why they use Photoshop. You can't really blame them. Okay, next we've got three brief news stories here. First up, recent Grammys winner SZA appears to be going into makeup. On an Instagram story, she wrote that she was wearing all her own lip products over an image of her at a recent Billboard music event. The image shows her wearing this really pretty pink lipstick with a signature dark brown liner and gloss. It's a standard SZA glam look, and also something that many of us have been wearing for months. So I think there's definitely going to be a market for anything that SZA launches. Next, we have the stunning Anok Yai, who has been announced as the spokesmodel for a brand new Mugler fragrance. Global president of Mugler, Danielle Lahana Aidenbaum, said it's time to rejuvenate the Alien perfume line with a new addition called Alien Hypersense. Anok Yai will be the face of the brand, and it's also launching a new retail concept in China that will see them blend fashion and fragrance. I can't wait to see how that looks and what else is to come as Mugler celebrates its 50th anniversary. The final mini story is about Julia Fox and her new show, OMG Fashion.
Hey, bitches. This is OMG Fashion.
That's fashion spelled F-A-S-H-U-N. And it has to have an exclamation mark at the end, by the way. Yes, you guessed it. It's a fashion competition. The premise of the show is to reward emerging designers based on their ability to be resourceful in meeting Julia's fashion brief. What's most exciting for me is that Uber stylist Law Roach will be one of the judges. If you don't know who he is, he's the guy that's been Zendaya's stylist for a very long time. He also put Celine Dion in a coat for the Grammys, which I know some people have commented on, but he's going to be one of the key judges alongside Julia, and they'll also have a rotating guest judge for each episode. The prize is $10,000 plus the exposure of Julia wearing the winning garment. The show premieres May 6th on E, which I think means if you're in the UK or you're outside of the US, you will need to get a VPN to watch it. Finally, let's look at the Grammys. I don't think it was a complete wow of a night, but I did notice there was a trend for red lipstick being worn with dark liner. Now, I'm not saying it's anything new, but what was different was that the people wearing this red lip with dark liner were wearing white dresses. Two in particular were Taylor Swift and Olivia Rodrigo. They both wore white. Taylor in a strapless white scaparelli with black gloves, which I have to say is the most simple Schiaparelli dress I've ever seen. I think somebody wrote about this saying, because obviously Schiaparelli is like out there and fantastic and glamorous and embellished, but if Taylor Swift is going to wear Schiaparelli, she's going to choose the most simple. It doesn't mean it wasn't attractive. It was just a very simple take on a big brand. It was just a strapless white dress with black gloves, which I actually loved. And we also had Olivia Rodrigo wearing a vintage white Versace dress that was covered in tiny red beads. So for me, it's just the fact that they wore a red lip with dark liner with a white dress. That's just like a fresh take on it. I did have some favorites from the night, though. I loved Miley Cyrus and her epic hair. For me, it wasn't so much her godmother, Dolly Parton. It was more Tina Turner. I also loved her bronze-toned makeup by James Kaliados. Another favourite was Lana Del Rey, who wore black head to toe. Some have commented that black is not her colour, but I loved how she played with textures of black and agree with a comment that was made by Nova Luxurious on my video, which said she's giving high fashion Lydia Deetz, who, if you don't know, was a slightly depressed goth teenager played by Winona Ryder in the 1988 film Beetlejuice. My other two favourites from the night were Doja Cat in custom tattoos and the colour purple actress Fantasia, whose hair and makeup was flawless. I've shared videos on all four of these favourite looks with lots more details, so you can go check them out over on the Beauty Me podcast account on Instagram. I'll leave a link in the show notes for you. And that is it for this very long week in beauty. Be sure to let me know if you enjoyed this episode. Tag me while you're listening or email me beautymepodcast@gmail.com, DM me on Instagram or X at beautymepodcast. Don't forget, there's also a newsletter that you can read for free at beautymenotes.substack.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, do please leave a review or rating on Spotify, Apple, wherever else you're listening. I'll see you next time.